Hey, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer, a former middle school teacher, current college professor. And I want to talk about this concept today of showing your work and what exactly that means. So here's some thoughts. When I was a kid, I loved watching reality TV. Okay, it wasn't really reality TV, at least not in the current way that we think of people yelling at each other and competition and all that kind of stuff. My version of reality TV shows when I was a kid was actually public broadcasting. That's right, PBS. However, I would watch an entire season of This Old House, and Bob Vila would walk viewers through the step-by-step process. It was cumbersome, and it was long, and I loved every minute of it. I loved seeing a house being restored. This never included a choose these three options moment, or a surprise ending, or a what are they going to decide. None of that happened. Instead, the homeowners were part of the process, and to be honest, on some level, so were the viewers. This was the same thing I felt when I would watch Bob Ross paint Happy Little Trees. I knew there were better artists out there. My mom had taken us to museums with famous paintings. But the thing is, you don't get to watch a video of Michelangelo or Da Vinci doing their work. It just doesn't exist. And where we do get to see anything, it's probably more with Da Vinci's notebooks, which are in themselves absolutely fascinating to watch. When he does share his work, when he shows it to us, it's mind-boggling. I used to love watching segments of A Wonderful World of Disney or something like that. And they would show how films were animated. And it was the same kind of thing. I loved watching this laborsome, laborious, whatever you want to call it, process of making animated films. I was enthralled by it as a kid. And it's also why I loved watching the field trips with Mr. Rogers when he would leave his neighborhood and they would go and learn about how people make crayons or build a table or whatever. Now, you would think that this demystifying element would destroy the magic, but that's not what happened. Instead, I realized that making is magic, and I felt inspired. I remember looking around my house at one point and realizing, as a kid, holy crap, someone made all of this stuff. Someone started with an idea and made a design, and now it's in our house. And to a kid, as a child, that was absolutely amazing. I wanted to learn more about how things were made, and ultimately that curiosity is what would inspire my creativity. So there's one thing that all of those different TV shows had in common, and it was the idea that someone was showing their work. Someone was actually letting people in on the process. They were taking the veil away. Not the veil. That would be, I guess, meat. The veil away. And letting us know what their process was. And Austin Kleon describes this as showing your work. It's the idea that we should share our creative journey with others. And it's what happens when you make videos showing your creative process or when you share snapshots of your work on social media before it's actually ready to be published. It's what happens when you put yourself out there in a creative community. And I actually see this with my most creative students, both now working with graduate students and in the past when I worked with middle schoolers. You see this when kids would engage in an online community centered around their interests. I saw this when a girl in the eighth grade showed me her 5 novels that she had already published on Wattpad, and then shared her Tumblr where she asked for feedback in the characters and plots she was developing. I noticed this when kids started playing Minecraft and began watching and creating Minecraft videos in this ongoing cycle. Henry Jenkins describes these as participatory cultures. And I love the list that he gives of what makes something a participatory culture. Number one, there's a low barrier to participation, so it's not something hard to get into. Number two, there's a strong support for sharing. Number three, There's informal mentorship going on. Number four, members who believe their contributions matter and value participation of others. So there's this concept that people feel that they know each other and that they belong. And that leads to number five, which is a sense of social cohesion. There are actual social norms that guide the behavior and the activity of the group. And a participatory culture in one shape or form has always existed. I mean, this is not something new, but it is new in terms of the role of the internet in creating these newer participatory cultures, because they're no longer defined by geography. If you are really into cross-stitching and knitting, there's a whole slew of communities that you can be involved in that are completely devoted to that particular activity. And so the internet has sort of erased the geography needed in the past that we were kind of tied down to, and it allows us to be participants in these sort of online, digital, non-geographic cultures. Participatory cultures are often creative and open rather than consumer-oriented or closed. They're multi-age, they're interest-based, they're centered on shared interests. They are, in many respects, the opposite of the industrial model of school. They often allow and even celebrate some level of making mistakes. And again, nobody's grading you, nobody's giving you a certificate at the end. That's not the way a participatory culture works. And to me, I love this idea that Jenkins brought up of participatory cultures. It reminds me that creativity isn't a solitary endeavor. It is nearly always to and from a community. Great ideas rarely happen in isolation. Instead, they're part of the constant sharing back and forth of what you're doing, learning, and making. And this is why it's so valuable that we share our work. So here are seven reasons to share your work. I'm just going to toss them out there. I've been thinking about this idea of showing your work lately. A few weeks ago, I wrote a post and did a podcast on how I refine my lessons. I almost didn't post it because honestly, who wants to read a post describing how to modify a unit plan? It was, well, kind of boring to me. But to my surprise, it was one of the most read posts of the entire month. People loved it. And I think it goes to show you that there is a need to be showing your work as an educator. Number one, showing your work encourages metacognition. See, when you're showing your work, you are forced to communicate what you did and how you did it in a way that others understand. This becomes a chance to reflect on your work and also clarify misconceptions and catch any blind spots. Number two, innovation skyrockets when you show your work. There's this guy, Edward Clapp, and he's a researcher at Project Zero. I got a chance to watch his TED Talk live when I was doing mine. And he brought up this idea that instead of focusing on a single founder, an originator of this creative idea, we should really be thinking about how great ideas are often the results of a network of information in a community of transparency. When you show your work, you're helping build this community where people are learning from each other constantly. And that's powerful. Number three, it builds confidence. Look, when you share your work and people like it, when you share your process and people notice it and they comment on it, you internalize this idea that you are a creative thinker and problem solver. You define yourself as a maker, and that makes you more confident. See, we can say everyone's creative, but unless you've actually put your work out there, and not just your finished work, but your process, you don't really get a chance to believe it for yourself. But when you're part of this community, it becomes a group of people who are affirming this creative side of you. Number four, it can lead to creative partnerships. And I've seen this with the different collaborative ventures that I've been a part of. Nearly all of them began with people that I met online. And we started by just showing our work, but we eventually moved into partnering and eventually co-creating together. And that was really valuable to go through this process. The sharing of your work led to the collaborative partnership. And this simple act of just sharing doesn't feel like it's going to lead into something deeper in the moment. I mean, you feel like I'm just putting it out there. But then the more you share your story, the more you get to know each other's stories. And the more you get to know each other's stories, the more you get to know each other as people. And honestly, you become friends. And through this friendship, through these bonds of cohesion that Jenkins would describe, you begin to actually do creative work together. And sometimes it's just, you know, commenting on each other's work. Sometimes it's just kind of doing loose collaboration. But eventually, you start making stuff together. And that's really powerful. Number five, you get pushback. This is the hardest piece. There are going to be people who hate on your work. They're going to give you a thumbs down. They're going to troll your Twitter feed. They're going to say bad stuff about you. That's going to happen in any community, especially if it gets really big. There's this concept of once a community gets above 150, a lot of the social cohesion starts to disintegrate. But the thing is this, even despite the downside of the criticism, there's a real value in having other people who can give you critical feedback. And as a result, you get to grow in your creative work. But the flip side of this is it's a chance to mentor others. Think of the last time you were stuck in how to do something. Where'd you go for an answer? It's possible that you called someone on the phone, but there's a higher likelihood that you went to YouTube or visited a website. When this happens, there's an informal mentoring process going on. Too often, we think our work isn't anything special because it doesn't seem new or impressive, but there's a good chance it's new and impressive to someone. And that someone needs an answer. And guess what? You get to be the person who's providing it. Number seven, you get to change the narrative. This is especially true of teachers. There are so many stories of how awful schools are and how out of touch teachers are and all that kind of crap. When you show your work, you get to change the narrative by showing evidence of the great things that are happening in your classroom. Now, you might be feeling like your work isn't all that awesome. You might be feeling like, why do I even bother sharing it? I mean, I don't have anything to share. But I guarantee you that it's awesome to someone. When you choose to show your work, you're not only participating in the creative culture of education, but you're actually redefining it. You're helping other teachers become better at their craft. You are transforming education for students you don't even know. And as a result, you are creating creative classrooms. So thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom podcast. The music is from Ben Sound. They have some pretty phenomenal music. No, it's not sponsored by Ben Sound. There are no sponsors on the podcast. Quick favor, if you enjoy this podcast at all, would you leave a review on iTunes? That allows people to be able to find this podcast when they're searching for it. And it also allows me to let, you know, to find out what people think of it. So if you could leave a review again, that would mean a lot to me.